my pleasure to introduce a woman who has enabled thousands of people worldwide to gain control of their lives. Control of their lives. Can you believe it? Control of their lives by helping them to be more organized and eliminate clutter, my favorite thing. She's shown her clients the way to live more fully and completely, and isn't that what we all want? Carrie Green is this woman's name, spelled with three E's, not just two, two in the middle and one at the end. She began her professional career, are you ready, guys? On Wall Street. Yes, she was one of those people, but not now, not lately. For 15 years, she was at a major brokerage firm, and she worked at, yes, the New York Stock Exchange. So I think she deserves a little moment of reverence just for the fact that she survived, got out before all this other stuff happened that's happened to us in the last few months and years. However, 2002 was the year she finally had had enough. She was frustrated with faceless corporate entities and business as usual, and I guess that's kind of what brought us to where we are. She was convinced that there was more to life than commuting to Wall Street and working for the firms that have proven themselves to be without heart, which tells you a little bit about who Carrie Green is. To share her unique perspectives and talents, Carrie established Carrie Through, isn't that a great name? Carry Through Coaching and Organizing Services to work with groups and individuals through innovative and unique programs. Her articles have been published nationally, and her website and newsletters reach thousands of people every month. And she also is an ADD coach as well. So she is a coach and a professional organizer rolled into one. She is really and truly passionate about helping individuals see beyond those piles, beyond all that clutter, and discover what's truly important to them. Because let's face it, guys, life is not about figuring out how to get the last pile gone. Life is beyond the pile. So please, please, please allow me to welcome a very dear friend, Carrie Green, to our call. Welcome, Carrie.
Well, thank you, Linda. You say that so nicely, and I love the way you said Green with three E's, and that I'm going to just wrap that into my life. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You know, it's interesting because when people hear that I started my career on Wall Street and spent 15 years there, they always look at me and say, you know, how did you end up in professional organizing and coaching? How did that all happen? Well, I just want to share just a little bit about my background. As you said, Linda, I worked for 15 years on Wall Street, and I was actually working for the stock exchange back in the late 90s when the Dow hit 10,000 for the first time. Now, at that time, I went down on the trading floor. It was a very exciting day. They were throwing hats around and everything else, and I'm actually staring at my Dow 10,000 hat right now. Whereas it used to be a reminder of my life at the New York Stock Exchange, now it's a prayer. So hopefully we hit that 10,000 mark again and I can wear it real soon. But anyways, back in 2002, I was working for an online brokerage firm called Daytech. Daytech was bought out by another company called Ameritrade, which I'm sure has been bought out again and again since then. But in any case, Ameritrade was willing to keep me on, but they wanted me to work in Omaha, Nebraska. Not a problem, except that I live in New Jersey. And I really didn't think that the commute from New Jersey to Omaha was going to work for me. I have three children. At the time, my daughter was nine, and my twin sons were seven. So I started to look for a new job at the time, but I found myself getting really frustrated. I was in product marketing and development, and you know something, I was really good at it, but I had no idea who my customer was, and I didn't really feel like I was helping anyone, and I knew there had to be a better way. Now, these are the really early days of reality shows, so one day I found myself watching a show about organizing, and I thought to myself at the time, hey, I'm a real organized person. I spent all these years on Wall Street dealing with organizing. I could do this. It looks easy. So I decided to fire our nanny and become a professional organizer. Looking back on that, how incredibly naive I was at the time. When I first started helping my clients get organized, I never felt like I was giving my clients everything they needed. As a professional organizer, my focus was really on filing systems and physical clutter. But what my clients really needed and what I wanted to help them do was to declutter themselves, not their stuff, but themselves. And one day, about 5 years ago, one of my clients told me she thought I should become a coach. I had no idea what a coach was at the time, and she actually said that the reason I should become a coach was because she wanted one. So I started to do a whole bunch of research about coaching, And the more I learned, the more I realized that it held the key for me in helping me help my clients get to the bottom of their clutter and discover themselves. So here I am 6 years later. I credit my clients, especially those who put up with me in those early days, with teaching me everything I know. My clients taught me that organizing is not about putting your things away or figuring out where to file your paperwork or where to put your clothing. What I have learned along the way is that getting organized is about uncovering yourself. Because as you get rid of the clutter in your life, you're able to find your focus. You're able to figure out what you really want to be doing and able to take control over your life, your things, and your time. What really solidified the whole thing for me was back when I worked on Wall Street, back in the day, I'd get my paychecks. And whoever would give out a check, at the time there were lots of jobs on Wall Street, whoever would give a check, would, you know, you'd say thank you to them, and they'd say, yeah, sure, thanks, whatever, and keep on walking by. Well, shortly after I began coaching, one of my clients handed me a check. And as always, I just took the check and said thank you very much and put it in my bag. And my client stopped and looked at me and said, no, thank you. And that's when I realized just how effective and how important the work I've been doing is. And through coaching and the various programs I run an Escape Your Clutter Boot Camp. I've got a free e-course on my website, Get Organized, 4 Steps to Help You Escape Your Piles. Things like that that are available right from my website, which I'm just going to put in there right now, www.carriethrough.com, CARRIETHRU.com. But through these programs and through these courses, through the things that I'm doing, I'm able to make a world of difference in the lives of thousands of people literally all over the world. Just the other day, I'm working with one of my clients, and coming toward the end of the 12-session program that she signed up with for me, we've done a lot of work over the last couple of months on organizing her stuff, organizing her time, putting her schedule together, her to-dos, all of these things. And just the other day, we were talking, and she told me she had an incredibly busy week ahead of herself. And I said, okay, let's talk about it. Let's make sure we've got it all under control. And she said, you know what? I'm real confident. I've got it under control. What I want to spend my time with today, she told me, is figuring out how to add time into my schedule, how to manipulate my schedule in such a way that I have time to go out for a cup of coffee with my friends, that I have time to plan my garden, that I have time to read a book. Until we did the work on organizing her stuff, that was just beyond her. It wasn't going to happen. But now that we've created a schedule for her, we've built the foundation for her, she's able to do these things. So tonight we're going to be talking about clutter. That's why we're here. We're going to be talking about what clutter really costs you and how you can take control over that clutter so that you could create the space in your life for the things that are really important to you. Now, as Linda said, Linda and I go way back. She's a dear friend. I trust her. I really like her. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to let her grill me. I'm going to let Linda ask me the questions that I know matter to you. And then when she misses a question or two, I'm going to let you ask that question also. So, Linda, tell me, what do you want to know? What can I help you guys with tonight?
You know, this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. I have worked with a professional organizer now for the last 5 years. I thought I was going to be done in 4 weeks, and I'm still working with her. And that's not to discourage you from using a professional organizer. But the truth is that I've had this conversation in my head for a long time. Disorganization costs me a lot, and it's not just money. But can you talk about how the different ways that disorganization costs you? I mean, it feels like there's a lot of ways it's kind of leaking energy out of me.
Oh, there's a huge number of ways. Obviously, there's the money. Disorganization costs money, and you know that's almost the simple one. So let me cover that one first. Disorganization costs you money in that you're buying things that you have already. You have how many extra staplers, how many extra shirts, how many extra whatever they are because you've already got them. And you go out, you can't find them, so you just go ahead and you buy yourself another one. So disorganization costs money in that way. There are many, many people who have storage units because they don't have enough space in their homes or in their offices. I know lots of people actually who have bought bigger homes because they can't fit everything that they have in their home. Disorganization costs money like that. Disorganization costs money in that you can't find your bills, so you end up paying late fees on things. it may be like one of the clients I've worked with. Her name was Doreen. Doreen said to me one day, I paid my bills, and as I was paying my bills, I realized I had saved $500. And that was because she didn't start paying bills for things that she had already paid, things that she had forgotten about, things that she wanted to follow up on. But now she had a foundation built for herself, so she understood what she needed to do, so she was saving money in that way.
Wow.
There's also things like if you run a business of your own, like I run a business of my own. If I don't follow up with my clients, if I don't follow up with potential clients, I lose money. So you may have a contract, you may have a proposal or something like that buried under a stack of papers. You may have a business card for someone you're supposed to follow up on, and these lost opportunities cost money. So disorganization also costs time. So how do we think about time? There's a statistic I read recently that said the average American is spending 400 hours a year searching through piles for things that they have. 400 hours a year translates into over an hour a day. There's that 25-hour day when you stop searching through things. 400 hours a year is 10 40-hour work weeks. Now, I know most of us don't work 40-hour work weeks anymore, but 40-hour work weeks, 10 40-hour work weeks, we're spending searching through piles.
Wow.
It's just an incredible number.
That just blows me away.
Yeah.
Where did this statistic come from?
I actually found it through NAPO, the National Association of Professional Organizers, and I believe they quoted it from the Wall Street Journal.
Well, you know, it may be 2 hours for me, actually. But,
but, you know, when we think about it, what else can we do with those 400 hours a year, that extra hour a day? If you're working and you, let's say you bill yourself out at $50 an hour, $100 an hour, $200 an hour, what is that 400 hours a year worth to you? A huge amount of back to money. But also, let's say now you're working more effectively and you're using those 400 hours more effectively. What can you do with that time that you're not spending searching through things? You could spend that time with family. You could spend that time like my client is doing now, spending more time with her friends, going out for coffee and planning her garden. You could spend more time working your business so that now that extra $400 translates into additional revenues. But you could do so much more with that 400 hours. You can go on a vacation. You've just earned yourself 10 working weeks a year.
Wow.
That's so amazing. It costs an amazing amount of time. Disorganization also costs us time in that you end up searching for something as you're about to run out of the your home or your office, and now you're running late to somewhere. And that time, you know how it is, it just kind of builds on itself. You lose 5 minutes here, you lose another 10 minutes there, and another 10 minutes, and another 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, you're running so late, and everything is just falling behind. So it costs a huge amount of time. So disorganization is costing you money. That's pretty obvious. I hope now it's obvious that it's costing a huge amount of time. But also, there's your self-esteem. I was speaking to a client the other day who told me that she overheard her friends talking. They were supposed to be meeting at 1. They told her to be there at 12:30 because she's always, always late. What does that do to your self-esteem? How do you feel when your friends are telling you to show up a half hour early knowing that you are definitely going to be late?
Well, not only that, Carrie, but what does it do to your friendships?
Absolutely. It's your self-esteem. It's your friendship because no one trusts you. You don't even trust yourself. How do you feel when you make a promise to a client, to your boss, to your colleagues, and you say, I'm going to finish this by Wednesday, and they know in their heart, and you know in your heart, Wednesday's going to come and go, and you might get it done by Thursday or Friday or maybe next week or maybe never because you're not organized enough to pull it together. What does that do to your self-esteem? You know you're not good to your word. How does it feel when you want to have a meeting in your office, but you're embarrassed about what your office looks like, so you set up the conference room down the hall, or maybe you meet at Starbucks or something instead. Or you want to have a play date. You want to invite your kids' friends over, and you won't because the house is just a mess. So these things just have a huge, huge toll on your self-esteem. And your energy just goes. It's just gone. Like, oh, I'd love to invite Linda over for dinner, but I can't because my house is just such a mess and I'm not going to bother with it, and I just don't have the energy, I don't have the strength to do it. And what ends up happening through all of this is that not only is it costing you your money, your self-esteem, and your time, but it costs you your dreams. So now I haven't invited Linda over for dinner, although, Linda, you're welcome here anytime, no matter what's going on.
Oh,
but
thank you so much.
I haven't invited my friends over for dinner. I'm not doing what I want to be doing. I'm not engaging in the hobbies that really matter to me. I'm not following my dreams. I may not be building the business I want to be building. I may not be the parent I want to be, all because of disorganization. Now, let me give you an example from a client that I've been working with very closely lately. She, too, is actually coming up on the end of her coaching program with me, and we've spent a lot of time over the last few months really digging and figuring out what she needed to do and digging out her apartment. Now, she lives up in Michigan, so nowhere near me. We did this all through coaching virtually, and we've managed to, and I say we because we've both worked at it, but you know what? She really did 99% of the work, but she's really managed to clear out her apartment. She's done so much work. She gets to work on time now. She's much more confident at work. She's doing all these things, and it's great. And what she said to me about a week ago really just, I finally, you know, well, everything she had done was amazing. This is the one that really, really shook me. She said to me, guess what I did, Carrie? And I was like, what did you do? I've made a call, she told me, that I've been wanting to make for 10 years. I called a voice coach. I'm going to sign up for voice lessons. Because finally, this organization wasn't costing her her dreams.
Oh, wow. That's just, that gives me chills.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it did to me. I was like, wow. It's not about which piece of paper do you keep, which box do I put away, which shirt is the right shirt. It's not about that. It's about realizing that what you want to do is take voice lessons. You want to have time to do the watercolors. You want to have time to play on the floor with your son or daughter. It's about having what you want in your life.
You know, Carrie, it really kind of sounds like, and it's certainly been my experience as well, that you're almost talking about the clutter that we have physically creates clutter in our brain so that we don't, it kind of imprisons us. That's kind of what seems to be what you're saying. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. It's absolutely accurate. Thank you for saying it so nicely.
Well,
I appreciate
it.
What happens is that we end up saying no to all the things that we want to say yes to. And that's all because we're saying yes to all the things that we mean to say no to. You know, the world we're living in today, it's so exciting. It's so overwhelming. We have so many options. But we end up in a place where we're stuck because there's so many things coming in. And you know, especially when you throw the whole ADD picture into it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is we've got so many options, so many things to choose from. Decision-making may or may not be a strength of some people with ADD. We're not talking, or I don't want to address all the ADD challenges that there are out there, but there are so many things that when we look at this, we get so incredibly overwhelmed with it. We end up with so many piles of things, and we say, you know what, I'm going to decide on that one later. I can't deal with this now. I'm going to do it later. And it's all this later stuff, later, later, later. You know, the other piece of that really comes up, in addition to that decision-making thing, one of the reasons why we get so overwhelmed so easily is in addition to these decision-making, a lot of times once we put something away, out of sight, out of mind. So if there's another piece that the whole ADD thing comes into it all. We're afraid to put things away because once they're away, they're gone. And once they're gone, we're going to forget them. But it comes back to, again, what is it that we want in our life for real? How do we get this clutter out of the way so you can focus on the things you want? Now, of course, there's also the time management issue when you're talking about disorganization and ADD. A lot of people who have ADD may not be all that conscious of how much time things take. So you may say, I'm going to set aside 3 hours and I'm going to take care of all this. Well, 3 hours later, you've barely made a dent in anything. And that may be because Maybe the job was simply bigger than you thought it was, or different than you thought it was, or maybe you've just been so pulled off track by 19 other things that have come your way that 3 hours passed and nothing has happened. So as you're going through things, it's more difficult for the person with ADD to stay on track and to keep things topical on what's going on and make the decisions that you need to make. And what ends up happening is there's this huge sense of overwhelm, and you feel like you're really just too cluttered to declutter. You know, where do you even begin?
Boy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So that brings us to another question: is where do you start? If there have been so many times in my life that I will walk into a room and I want to cry. I mean, I am so overwhelmed just by being in the space that I don't even know what to do. And I've heard that little thing about you take a little piece of paper and you see one little place, but you know what? Then I take that down from my eye, and then it's all overwhelming me again. There are times, literally, when I just have to turn around and I don't touch anything. Forget five pieces of paper. I don't touch anything because I'm just so disheartened. I guess that's really the word. So how do we begin to start? How do we get the optimism? That's really what it boils down to.
There's a couple of questions that you're asking. I'm going to see if I could break them apart a little bit, and let me
okay.
just see where
yeah,
we go.
Fine. Sure.
I think if there's one message of anything else I talk about tonight or really any other time that I really want to get across is that it's not about organizing what you have.
Okay.
It's about organizing what you want.
Oh.
And it's a subtle difference, but it means everything. So that's not to say that with that piece of information, you could walk into a room and easily organize everything that's there. But what I would say is before you can start to organize it, you have to start making some of those decisions and have to start understanding what it is you want in your life. One of the first things that I do when I'm working with clients is figuring out the why. What is it that will really drive them to get organized? What's in it for them? And so often I'll hear things like, well, I want to be more organized because that way my house will look nicer, that way my business will go smoother, or whatever it is. And while that's perfectly valid, the more we dig to get down to what's really, really important, the easier it is to decide what it is we want in our life and what it is we want to keep and what it might be time to let go of. So as we start to look through our stuff, we start to figure out what it is we really want. And as we figure out what it is we really want, it becomes much easier to organize those things and put them away.
Well, what do you mean what we really want? You mean what things we want to keep and what we want to throw away? Is that what you mean?
I mean that, but really more on a deeper level.
That's
so, for instance,
yeah.
Let me, I'm going to skip ahead of my little cheat notes here and tell you a story. And this is a story about me. The story goes like this. I'm a pretty organized person, and you might expect that. I mean, this is what I do for a living. I should be pretty organized. I had a pile of paper going from one side of my desk to the other for months. The pile was 3 or 4 inches high, not all that high. I've seen much, much higher piles, but this was my pile. And this pile was filled with really, really important, juicy, hot information, and this was good stuff. It had articles I wanted to read. For those of you who subscribe to my newsletter, which you could get on my website, it had ideas for articles I wanted to write. It had courses I wanted to create, courses I wanted to take, hints for marketing my business and, making $3 million in a week kind of stuff. I had all sorts of really important things in this pile. I wasn't using any of it. It was a pile of clutter. It was going from the right to the left, right, left, just for months. Finally, one day, I said, you know what? It's time. And I took this pile of clutter, and I did exactly with that pile of clutter that I do with my clients every day. I created some questions for myself to use to really help me make the decision between what do I want and what am I ready to let go of. The questions that I created for myself, I'm trying to even remember exactly what they were, but they were along the line of, am I really going to be doing this or using this within the next couple of weeks? And things along that line that helped me make decisions on this piece of paper. One question that I use with a lot of clients, and I used it with myself as well, is what would happen if I never did this, if I never saw this again? Would it matter? Would I be able to recreate it? At the end of the day, this pile that was 3-4 inches high ended up being one piece of paper. That one piece of paper became the Escape Your Clutter Boot Camp, which is a program that I've been running successfully for the last 6-7 months now. It's an amazingly powerful program, but it was stuck in the clutter. So once I asked myself the right questions, I was able to really decide how to use it, how to put it away, what to do with it. But it's about clearing the clutter. It's not about how to put it away. Once the clutter is clear, you can see what it is you want.
So at your boot camp, you talk mm-hmm. about the way to do this. Tell us a little bit about that boot camp.
The boot camp is an absolutely incredible program. It is truly my pride and joy. I haven't seen anything else like it out there anywhere. It's called the Escape Your Clutter Boot Camp. And in this program, we'll really talk about all the things that we've hopefully already learned on this program and a whole heck of a lot more. I love this program, and I want to read to you a couple of quotes from two of the people who participated just this past January. One of the people in the program, Helene, said, "I am so happy," with like 9 O's there, "I had the opportunity to do the Escape Your Clutter Boot Camp with you. It's been an invaluable experience for me and worth so much more than I ever thought it would be. It has made a really big impact on my life." Now, Helene also told me that going through the boot camp, she realized that she didn't have to move in order to have a studio. She had one all along. She just had to figure out what she wanted in it and part of it in order to make that studio happen for her. Another woman, Elizabeth, who lives in New York, said to me, "Carrie, thank you. You've inspired and helped me. You've made my life exciting and helped me gain possession of my life for the first time. I'm feeling very alive. I'm thinking and functioning in a new and different way, and you and the Escape Your Clutter Boot Camp delivered that." Now, it's only a 2-week-long program, but yet it has that kind of impact. And that, to me, has made me so happy that I pulled that one piece of paper out of that pile.
So I have a question about that piece of paper. Did you
yeah.
throw away all the other pieces of paper, or did you do something different with them?
I threw away all those pieces of paper, and my stomach lurched and shook, and my hands were shaking and everything else. That's what I saved. And at the end, I threw away that piece of paper also once the idea started to take hold.
Oh, of course. It germinated.
Yeah. It was done. It was set. But
oh,
this
cool.
program is going to be starting again in, actually, just over a month. It starts again on April 23rd. A couple of pieces of information about it, and then I promise we're going to get back to what Linda and I need to talk with you about tonight. If you are online and you could open up another window, I invite you to go over to the page where you've got more than enough information about it. The page on my website is www.carriethrough.com, carriethrough.com/product, product, because it is a product of mine, /bootcamp, bootcamp. Now, on that page, you're going to find lots of other testimonials. In addition to Helene and Elizabeth's testimonial, a lot of other testimonials from people who participated, even a couple of before and after pictures there. Now, this program works because it's so incredibly practical. What happens is you get a true jump start on getting organized and decluttering. And what's really amazing is that I'm there with you to guide you every step in real time. And this program will prove to you that you can absolutely make it happen. It's a 2-week program, as I said. It's going to be running from April 23rd to May 7th, and it's virtual, which means that Helene, who lives in Washington, and Elizabeth, who's here in New York, and I'm in New Jersey, and wherever you are, literally in the world, you could participate. This is a 3-phase program. It gives you everything you need to escape your clutter. So let me just very briefly tell you about the 3 phases. Phase 1, about getting you started so that you're not feeling like you're too cluttered to declutter. We customize solutions to your specific situation. You don't end up feeling lost and overwhelmed, and you won't give up before you even get started. Like I said to the person who shared her ADD of a delight at the beginning of the call, what works for me won't work for you. What works for you won't work for me, not because we're good or bad, just because we're different. And during phase 1, we help you to figure out what works for you. Phase 2 is really the main feature of the whole program. It's what I've called the day of action. This is 3 hours that we'll spend together virtually over the phone, but we'll spend 3 hours together putting an end to your clutter. Now, phase three, let me ask this question first. Have you ever spent hours and hours getting organized, and then before you know it, everything's back the way it was? I know I have. And phase three is designed to make sure that this never happens again. Because phase three is about giving you the strategies you need to stay organized and clutter-free so that you never have to feel that weight of your clutter on you again. Just a couple of specifics, and then we'll get right back to all the information we want to share tonight. A couple of the things that you'll be getting. There are 2 75-minute teleconferences, one at the beginning of the program and the other at the end. I'll tell you, until this time that I'm running the program, they were one-hour teleconferences, but I never got all the questions answered, so I simply made it longer. So there are 75-minute teleconferences so that you get everything you need answered. These calls are recorded. You get to listen to them again if they help you. You also get to listen to them if you happen to miss a call, which I hope you don't. Over the course of the 2 weeks, you get daily emails from me. These emails are meant to be thought starters, not emails from me that say, make sure you put your 20 minutes in today. I'm not looking for you to spend time. I'm looking for you to think. Over the course of those 2 weeks, they're general pointers, they're thought starters, they're ideas. It's not a commitment to put in another 5, 10, 15 minutes, another 5 sheets of paper or any of that. It's about getting you thinking. Over the course of the program, you have access to an exclusive online forum where you get to interact with everybody else in the program. You ask questions, you post before and after pictures, which is such an incredibly powerful thing to do, especially with people who will never really see it. You don't have to worry about it. You get to share ideas. You get to give support. You get to get support. Now, just a little bit about the Day of Action. The reason behind the Day of Action is that I've discovered it's really easy to take a class like this one. You listen in. You get great ideas. And then the ideas just sit there or you forget about them. So the Day of Action is all of us, including me. We set aside a 3-hour block of time to get your project done. Here's how it works. At the beginning of the 3 hours, you call into our conference line, and I answer any last-minute questions. And then you get to work for 50 minutes. That's 50 minutes. Then you call in again, and I answer any more questions. Now, these are some of the questions that I've answered in the past. Carrie, it went really well, but after about half an hour, I kept getting distracted by all the pieces of paper, and I kept reading them. What can I do to keep myself moving? And I answer that question. Someone else on the call asked me, Carrie, I'm doing really well. I'm getting all this stuff, and I've got different piles for different places where things should go. Do I move them now, or do I stay put? And these are the kinds of questions that derail you as you're working on your own. But I'm there with you in real time to make sure these questions get answered. You'd be amazed at how much you really accomplish and how much easier it is than you think it should be. The Day of Action especially gives you the accountability and the structure you need to do it. Now, your investment in this program, including the 2 75-minute teleconferences, Day of Action, the recordings, the online forum, daily emails, and the support the support you're getting from me and the rest of your team is $347. Now, I know people buy books and programs and products all the time and don't use them. People listen into these calls and don't follow through, and I don't want that to be you. Here's another takeaway. From this teleclass that I'd like you to get, most of the piles that we have laying around are piles of unmade decisions, things that you'll decide on later that by the time you get to, it's too late to do or you're no longer interested in. By deciding to do it later, you're really deciding that you're not going to do it. And I'd hate for you to put getting organized into your I'll decide to do it later pile. The bonus for you for tonight is because you're listening in, and deciding not to do this later but to do it now, is if you register within 1 week from today, by March 25th, you'll actually get a 10% discount on this program. All you need to do is to go ahead and register, and when you sign in, there'll be a box for a coupon code. Type in ADDIVA, ADDIVA, in that coupon code, and it'll automatically deduct 10% off your price. I know I've given you a full week to decide, but for the people, and that's really for the people who are listening to the recording, if you're here now, I really want to encourage you to sign up now and don't let it sit into a pile until it's too late.
A pile. Yeah, that would be a unique situation, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. I want to mention a couple things. Number one, I got an email about, you know, what's Carrie's site again? So Carrie's information on there, her email address and her website, which is carriethrough.com. I also put the AD Diva website on there because we do have some of the people from Carrie's list as well, so I did want to welcome them, and I forgot to do that earlier today. And the other thing I really want to mention about this is what you're hearing over and over here from Carrie is that, and I was really taken with it when she said this earlier, is that you don't have to have a professional organizer in the same room with you. You hear that? She's been working with people all over the place, and that's true for coaching as well. But I just wanted to make that point. So
let me just put out there one last thing. carriethrough.com/product/bootcamp will get you right to the bootcamp page.
Okay, cool. Okay, somebody says, well, I have somebody who said, can you come to my house and help me get started?
Well, Linda, I think you just answered that question. I actually got the same question this evening from someone from California.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Carrie, I love what you're doing, but can you do this for me in California?
Yeah, some of the things that have come up for people, especially in the earlier questions, some of these things you've touched on, but it doesn't hurt to kind of move through them again. So some people may have kind of the same questions. We have a question from Texas that says, I tend to work on whatever area is bothering me the most at the moment. Boy, that sounds familiar to me. Books usually say to start in one corner of the room and work your way around it and then start in another room. She says, what's best? I'm really lost. What can she do?
That's such a good question. I like to start on a surface that I can see and not in a drawer. Because then when you walk into a room, you could actually see the difference you've made.
Yeah.
Where do you start, I think, is really the question that's being asked.
Piggyback onto this because I got another question, and let me just see if we can kind of combine these. It says, you know, three or four questions. Where do you start when dealing with paper clutter was one question. Where do you begin to corral an octopus of clutter? Every time I try starting somewhere, my difficulty is in being able to weigh the significance of things one to another. Just leads down to a lot of categorizing but not very much paring down. So, in other words, it just gets in different piles, but it doesn't get rid of anything. So it's all kind of in the same genre. I just wanted to throw those out to you.
Okay. Well, where do you start? Let's start with that question because I always start with where we start.
Okay, cool.
And in fact, it's one of the things we do a lot of in the boot camp program because we only want to start in one place. So how do you start so you're able to make a difference? The key is to start thinking about what's going to make the biggest difference for you. Mm-hmm. If there was only one thing you could organize, what would it be? And it doesn't have to be the most obvious place. It's just got to be the place that's going to kind of give you the biggest bang for your organizing buck. You might have 99 things that need organizing. But pick one that's going to have a significant difference. Now, when I say that, recognize that everything gets intertwined. So when you touch one thing, you touch another. There was one woman I was working with. We tried to figure out, you know, what's going to have the biggest difference. And we weren't really talking so much about organizing, but I think this really shows you what I'm trying to say. There were things going on in her life, in her business. She was running her own business. She had two children. She still has two children, but they were younger at the time. Her family, it was all these different things in there. Looking at the different areas of her life, where do you begin? She decided the most important thing for her was to call a doctor and get her Achilles tendon taken care of because she realized by focusing on that, she was able to spend more time running around with her children. She wouldn't be in pain. She'd be able to spend more time on her business and be happier about it. She'd be a happier person with her husband. So everything kind of rolls into each other. So when we talk about organizing, it may be that you start with your desk. It may be that you simply find a place to keep your keys because you spend an hour every day searching for your keys. So it's to figure out and to step back and to look at yourself and to start to see where am I going to get the biggest effect for the time I'm going to put in there. One way
Go ahead. I just wanted to mention because somebody said in here, how do you keep from getting sidetracked? I mean, you can start with something, but how do you allow yourself to not suddenly veer off? Because what happens for me often is that I'm doing it. I'm getting my desk, and then I have to go take something from that desk and put it away, and then suddenly I'm cleaning out the closet. And then I take something from the closet, and suddenly I'm cleaning out the garage. You know what I mean? Suddenly I'm getting, like, huge. It's just ridiculous.
I remember you once said to me that was like the hummingbird effect in your garden.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually writing a book called Hummingbird Tasking, actually.
I remember you saying that to me.
Yes.
So now we just got a little plug for your book. How's that?
Oh, no, well, but it's not written yet, you know, because I'm procrastinating. Does anybody know how that feels?
This question, how do you keep on track? There are a couple of different things, and a lot of it goes back to what kind of person you are.
Okay.
And it's like I mentioned, I took one of the questions during the day of action. I was like, well, you know, I've got all these piles. You know, one goes to my son's room, one goes to my office, one goes here. What do I do? As much as possible, I like to keep physically grounded in the place where I'm working. So if I'm working on my desk and something needs to go into another room, I kind of like to keep a pile or a little box of stuff that has to go into that room so that I enable myself to stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
For those people for whom it doesn't work, what I usually suggest you do is take it to the room, but then come back. Don't worry about where in the room it goes and all that other kind of stuff,
yeah.
But just get it there and then come right back.
When I work with my organizer, she was doing that. She was not letting me leave the room. It's like, and we would make little piles of stuff that would go into another room, but it would drive me crazy because then I was getting another pile that I then
yeah.
had to sort again, and I don't like to sort it again, and I just drives me crazy. It's like I did this once. So what I finally realized was that by her kind of forcing me to stay in one place, I mean, she didn't physically restrain me, but she was like, sit down back there. She was kind of like the dog whisperer for organizers, like, down, you know. So it was the organizing whisperer, but I finally realized, and it took me like a long, long time to figure this out because I don't listen to myself very well. I don't pay attention. I knew it didn't feel comfortable. I finally realized I need to move around. I can't just sit and sort papers for hours and hours, and we only work 3 hours at a time, never more than that, because I'm just like a fried potato by that time, you know. But I finally realized I need to go walk into the other room because I physically need to be able to move, and when she's here, she can bring me back. So that's,
yeah.
I mean, that's not an inexpensive way to avoid getting sidetracked, but it does help. So maybe it's as simple as setting a 2-minute timer to ring 5 minutes for forever until you come back and get it. But I just wanted to mention that sometimes it isn't just being in the same place because I'm the big H and my body needs to move. So I could do more organizing after I got up and moved than I could if I was just being confined, if you will, and feeling kind of trapped by it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and that's why
okay.
it's so important for us to understand ourselves.
Okay, cool.
Another
yeah.
thing that I really encourage people to do is really to pay attention, in addition to knowing yourself like that,
yeah.
but when are you alert? When are you able to?
Yeah,
be?
That's true.
I was working with one woman who said to me, you know, here I am, I moved into this house 8 years ago, and I've still got this pile of boxes that I keep meaning to get to, and I keep saying to myself every day after work that today's the day. Well, you know what? She's not a night person. There's
uh-huh.
no way she's ever going to get through this box, or any of these boxes, even a piece of paper, after a long day at work. So
huh.
we start to pay attention to when is a good time for you to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
to really pay attention to that is important. And to do the easier things when you're not as alert. I was working with one attorney who really wasn't very good. Well, actually, he was very good at doing all the research and all, you know, writing briefs and all that stuff. But it was a lot harder for him. He was good at it, but it was hard for him. What was easy for him was speaking on the phone with clients. He was alert. He was alive. He just loved doing it. So we talked about where he was alert and where he wasn't quite as alert. And as it turned out, he was most alert right after lunchtime till about 3 o'clock, so from like noon to 3. We restructured his day so that he was doing the more difficult things, writing the briefs and doing the papers and doing the research from 12 to 3. And spent his less alert time on the phone with clients. When you're faced with something that's a difficult thing to do, and organizing may very well be a difficult thing to do, or maybe writing your book might be a difficult thing to do, Linda, to restructure, or to not so much restructure, but to think about your own time and your own body and how you work and make it so that it works for you. It may mean having a glass of wine, a cup, you know, a bottle of beer, a glass of water, tea, whatever. Put candles in the room, turn on music, maybe a book on, well, not a book on tape anymore, book on CD, an audiobook, or listen to me on an MP3, you know, whatever it takes. But to put yourself in as much of the organizing mood as possible to keep
yeah.
you grounded physically.
Exactly. Well, I got one more question. I've got lots of questions over here, but One question particularly interested me from somebody in Charlotte. She said both of her parents have passed away, and she's cleaned out the family home. It's elderly parents, and all of a sudden we ended up having two households to organize, not just one. And
yeah.
She's managed to get it down to a fairly manageable size, but it's still too much, and there's lots of memories attached to that. So there's, it seems like there's a place to let go, and then there's a period of time, that the mourning and grieving piece of this. Do you have any ideas about how to handle something that has such an emotional charge?
Obviously, there's a huge sentimental attachment to these things when your parents are deceased and you're dealing with memories. There's also those kind of memories even from vacations you've gone on, knickknacks and little tchotchkes that you've collected over the years, things like that. It may be your children's clothing or artwork. All these things have a huge sentimental attachment to it. Let me share this story with you. It's kind of a conglomeration of three or four different real stories from my clients. I call this the story of Great Grandma Joe's Punch Bowl. And I named it Great Grandma Joe because my mother-in-law is Joe, so it just ended up being Great Grandma Joe. But in any case, imagine that Great Grandma Joe had this beautiful silver punch bowl that she left to you in her will. Great Grandma Joe died, and now you have this beautiful silver punch bowl, and it's taking up an entire shelf in your china closet or whatever it is. It's always dusty, and it's always tarnished. And you walk by Great Grandma Joe's punch bowl all the time, and you think, boy, Great Grandma Joe would be really irritated if she saw this now. And you walk by it, and you walk by it, and you know what? You don't like punch. Never really did, but Great Grandma Joe loved punch. Really, really loved punch. So now every time you're walking by this punch bowl, what you're really feeling is guilt. What you're really feeling is, one of these days I really should make punch. You know you never will. And you're feeling that I really should polish that. If Great Grandma Joe saw this, she'd probably kill me. And all these things are draining you of your time, your energy, your effort, your space. And do you really think that's how Great Grandma Joe wants you to think of her? Boy, I wish Great Grandma Joe had left this to my cousin so I wasn't stuck with this punch bowl. So as you're looking through these things, it's helpful. It's hard. It's kind of like when I threw out those 3 inches of paper. It's hard. But to look at these things and to really make a decision, what value am I getting from this? Mm-hmm. Is keeping this punch bowl really giving me the memories of Great Grandma Joe that I want? Are keeping these pictures that I never look through and that I feel guilty that one day I should get into an album, but I know I never will? Are keeping these pictures really serving me? Are they giving me what I want? Are keeping all the little snow globes that you got from every single place you've been to in your life serving a purpose? Or when I walk into a room and see all of them, I think, oh boy, do I really have to dust all of this?
Well, what you're really saying, Carrie, is where do I choose to spend my time? Is that important enough to me? Is it, because for some people, the answer to that question may be yes.
Mm-hmm,
that,
absolutely.
That dusting those snow globes may be something that is incredibly pleasurable, that it does bring back wonderful memories, and that those are the things that do need to remain there.
Absolutely.
And for some people, I'm like, friends, it's pretty interesting that you mentioned this, because my mother, who's still alive, but she's trying to downsize so that I don't have to do it when she isn't alive,
mm-hmm.
and she gave me her silver tea service. Now, the deal is that I think it's very elegant, but the truth is I don't have a place to use it. I mean, even though I do tea at Garden Spirit and all that kind of stuff, I don't have a place to use it. So fortunately, she gave it to me wrapped in that silver cloth that, you know, hopefully prevents it from tarnishing. Guess where it is, guys? It's in my attic. She's not hurt by it, and I don't have to see it, and I don't have to worry about it. But I haven't gotten rid of it. But not everybody has the attic space to do that.
Yeah.
So I think there's kind of a. It's, I'm not Catholic, but you know, there's something like purgatory before you get, you know, you don't go to hell, you go to purgatory. So it's that in between place where you kind of put things in some, and after a while they're not as important to you, and you can let, and you can release them with love and with honor. But there's a place of, no, I need to hang on to this for now. I wrote down when you were talking is that I was reminded of the advice that I got. I mean, I used to travel a lot until this year. I traveled quite a bit, and packing a suitcase is always, you know how George Carlin used to do that thing about stuff, if any of you are familiar with that, and how you get your stuff and then you put it in a smaller container, you take it to somebody else's place and you have your stuff, and then you go to one place for overnight and you take smaller and smaller versions of your stuff. And when you pack, the prevailing advice is to pack really, really light. And then when you get everything packed, go back and take out half of it.
Yep.
And it's the same kind of thing. It's I'm only taking the essentials, and then suddenly, I have to take out half of the essentials. And you'd be surprised what you can live without. But I'll bet you, I have a friend who has pared herself down to literally that she can actually move in one small van or something, that she's gone from this enormous house, and every time, and she had to make hard decisions about, do I keep this six-year-old, you know, the drawing from my six-year-old daughter, and that I used to, you know, I'm so proud of. And what she did was invite her daughter, who's now 26, over and said, remember when you did this? Wasn't this really wonderful? And they both agreed it was really wonderful. And my friend said, you know, I'm going to get rid of this, but I just wanted us to share this moment together. I thought it was incredibly brave of her.
Yeah.
Because I think that's incredibly difficult. At least I should claim that for myself. It's a very difficult situation. I also wanted to mention to you, Carrie, that we do have somebody from South Africa who is trying to join us, and she may not be able to join us on the live call because she said she was getting really sleepy. She's in Johannesburg. But anyway, so I just want to mention that because we have people literally from all over the world. We have people from Canada, we have people all over the place.
I have a question. What if you know you need a body double to help keep you staying focused?
A body double. I'm going to just explain what a body double is for those of you who may not know it. A body double is someone there to remind you that you are doing a project and need to keep going. I've seen people use a stuffed animal as a body double. I've seen people use a dog or a cat as a body double. Other things that also work as body doubles that's very much what the Escape Your Clutter Boot Camp is knowing that somebody else is working with you, even if they're not physically there, that you check in with on a regular basis. So a body double is incredibly, incredibly powerful. Other things that often work are making a commitment to somebody that I am doing this. Don't even think of calling me between 12 and 1, but please do me a favor and call me at 1. Because I'm going to want to get back on doing whatever it is I'm doing.
So you're talking about accountability then.
It's accountability, and that body double, what it does is it keeps you grounded. It keeps you focused. It keeps you doing what it is you're doing. And like I said, I've seen people take a stuffed animal, put it on a desk that they're working on, say to that stuffed animal, okay, Snoopy, or whatever stuffed animal you're looking at, for the next 15 minutes, this is what I'm going to be doing. And every time your eyes run around and find Snoopy, you're reminded of what you're doing.
You
can have a whole long conversation with Snoopy, and he won't repeat a thing.
That's true. Kind of reminds me of Shipwreck, that thing with Tom Hanks or whatever that name of that movie was, where he was befriending the ball. You know, that was his best friend. I just want to mention, though, that some people can't do Snoopy. They really need somebody who's going to hold them accountable. And sometimes, I used to even have my husband just come and sit in my office. He didn't have to do anything. He just needed to sit there. And that's literally the definition of a body double, because I didn't feel so scared. I didn't feel like I was all by myself out there. So I have a question online that says, you know, should I hire someone to help me with the clutter or just try to get through it by myself? And that's a really difficult question. I mean, you just talked about how expensive it is to have this clutter, and then do we spend money to get that money back? And is it an expense or an investment? I mean, that's a tough question here. So what do you think?
Yeah, well, being that this is what I do for a living, I'd like to think it's an investment personally. But let me explain why, other than just my own little opinion here.
Yeah.
Really what you're doing is enabling yourself to follow your dreams. How much is it worth for Liat to be able to say, you know what, it's the client I'd mentioned earlier, how I'm going to be able to take my voice lessons now. How much are those voice lessons worth? What does it mean for her future, that she's able to invest in herself now in these sort of things? How much is it worth for you to be able to go to sleep and not worry about all the things you've got? So I look at it in terms of an investment in yourself and in your health and in your well-being. But beyond that even, how do you go about doing it? Do you do it yourself? Do you bring somebody in? It's such a personal decision. I could certainly help you. the programs that I run, the boot camp that I run, the coaching programs I run, the group coaching programs I run, they could all help you. But it all depends on what kind of person you are and how accountable and how much structure you could add to your own life in order to make it happen.
Right,
how,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah, it's a personal thing. And there are people I've spoken to who have said, you know, will you please coach me? And I've said, no, you don't need a coach. Do this on your own.
Yeah.
And there are also other people that have said, no, you don't need a coach. You need somebody to be there physically with you.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to mention, because there is, you mentioned NAPO a few, you know, 20 minutes ago or so, and
yes,
that is the National Association of Professional Organizers. It's spelled, it's the initials are N-A-P-O when they call it NAPO. And if you need to get a professional organizer, it's a great place to go. You can go to the NAPO website and there will be, yeah, organizers in your community, I promise. Now, whether they're in your price range, that's another issue. Most organizers that I've talked to start in the $50 to $60 an hour range and go up to $100, $125 a session. Now, not as a per hour. It is an hour, isn't it, now that I think about it. There's, in this economic time, it may be very difficult. So I love the question, and I don't know who asked the question about the body double, but I really love the question because a body double implies, at least to me, that you're not paying someone. And I do know people who have traded those services for each other. I wasn't able to do that because I didn't, I know this sounds really selfish of me, but I don't have enough time to even take care of myself. And I just didn't have time to go take care of somebody else and be their body double. But, you know, that's just me. And that's just totally about me and my own lack of time management kind of thing. But I will tell you that I have a client in L.A., and she not only works with me on her ADD issues, and she's actually an ADD person herself, but she not only works with me, she also works with somebody who is working with her on her money management stuff. And she's also working with someone who was working with her on her clutter management. And she said to me, she had not done that before. And she even teaches ADD, like, classes and time management, stuff like that. And she said she had not realized how much difference it makes to literally have somebody in the room with you helping you decide, well, what are you going to do with this paper, asking the question. And I use my organizer that way a lot. I'll say, I just keep pushing the paper. It's just like Carrie said, my paper was just going from one pile. It just kept going, okay, well, it just sits there for months and months. I'm just still, and it's like, okay, now what are you going, what is important about this? And you know what? I know how to ask those questions to myself, but I wasn't doing it. So sometimes it really helps to have somebody in the room.
Oh, this is Marilee.
Hi, Marilee.
I think I have a quick question here, and I've had people help me organize for a long time. Of course, but the last friend said to me, you know, you really need to focus and finish.
Well, if you could do that.
Before I knew I had ADD, but anyway, but I had somebody last week, and I can work for a while, and then I just... You know, I have a limit. I can't do it for a long period of time.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because Carrie was talking earlier about knowing your own what you said was limits. Don't you think that's true, Carrie? That sounds reasonable.
Absolutely. We know our own limits. We do it in the way that works for us, and we have to pay attention to that. I've got a client who built a playlist for herself, music playlist that she plays on her computer. And what she does is whenever a specific song comes up, and she's cued it to come up regularly, but not at a specific time. Whenever this song comes up, she organizes for the 3.5 minutes or however long the song is. And
what
that's
a great
it.
Idea. I love that idea.
But
that is good.
But it's about knowing how long you can do it.
Yeah.
What the boot camp does is it pushes you to do it for 3 hours, so you get a huge amount done.
Yeah.
But the real secret is to just do it regularly, to manage what's coming in today and to work regularly on the backlog.
And you know, I think
really
that maintaining the order is for me as difficult as it is organizing. Organizing for me feels a little creative sometimes, unless I'm completely overwhelmed. So, but you know, organizing it and coming up with new ways to file things and getting new little organizing things, and then I'm bored with it and I don't want to redo it. You know, I don't want to keep it up. That's one of my issues too. So, is there anybody else who has a question on the phone right now?
My name's Teresa, and I just had a baby, almost 4 months old. And I'm 39 years old. I was diagnosed with ADD when I was a kid, you know, second grade. And organizing is pretty much impossible these days. So you have any suggestions on how to do that when you're you got a child to take care of in the process, and I don't know if you talked about this already because I missed the first half of the call. So
probably taking care of your child, right?
Exactly.
Exactly, and I think that a lot of women have this issue, and so I really appreciate it, and especially difficult when you have an ADD child to deal with.
Okay, thanks. Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. First of all, you have a four-month-old child. I don't think I need to go beyond that. Whether or not you have ADD, whether you have any other D or anything else, you've got a four-month-old child, and that child rules your life. And I'm saying this as a parent. I have now an almost 15-year-old child and twin sons who are almost 13. So I know that when there is a child involved, life just goes out the window. When having said that, it becomes even more important to dig down and decide what's truly, truly important. That decision-making, what do I really need in my life right now, as opposed to what did I used to need in my life right now and what I might need in my life right now in a year or 2 years, becomes very different. And the more you could focus in on these are the two or three things that are most important that I do, and maybe, and I'm just going to put these out there, the two or three things that I need to do right now, make sure there are diapers in the house, make sure laundry is done, and make sure my bills are paid and formula if you're feeding your son or daughter formula. More than that doesn't really matter. So as long as those things are taken care of and that corner of your life is working and is organized, the rest of it you decide can wait for another time, and they're not a piece of your life right now. It really becomes a microcosm of the exact same thing we were talking about before. Once you get down to decide what you really want in your life versus what you have in your life, then you're able to focus in on the wants, and those are the things that you can do. Does that make sense, I hope?
It absolutely makes sense. And you know, the truth is that that's really frustrating. I don't know if this is the first baby or not, but it is really frustrating when everything does center around that baby, but you do have to get some kind of food for yourself or your husband or your significant other, whatever kind of significant other you have. And the truth is that significant other can come into that, quote, mess, I'm just going to use that word loosely, and say, what the heck happened? What have you been doing all day? Well, excuse me, but I've been nursing a baby, and I've been changing diapers, and I've been, you know, whatever, you know, as if you need to explain that. However, often I find that ADD women, ADD divas, are often partnered with people who are very linear, and that's not an accident, for heaven's sake. But sometimes those very linear people can also be very critical. So it's one of those, I'm going to dance around this a little bit. So I think that what I hear Kara saying is that forgive yourself a little bit. Know that this isn't going to be forever, and that it's not going to be like this forever. Believe me, I was shocked. I mean, it's like, wait a minute, my kid's 30. Kid? That's not a kid. What does that make me? Oh, excuse me, old, very old. So anyway, I'm going to go back to the. We've got literally about 2.5 minutes here. I'm trying to hurry to get some more questions in here. What is the implication of chucking all important papers on the floor for sorting into a box and throwing it away? If I had the guts to do it, my son would certainly have no compunction about getting rid of it. So do you think that's a good idea, or you know, just to get it in one place, is that a good idea or not?
You know, it's interesting because so many people will gather up all their papers that are all over their desk and throw them into a bag and then, you know, put them in the closet until the cleaning people have come or the party's over or whatever else is going on.
Yeah.
And these bags sit there for months and months and years and years. And then we think, I absolutely have to go through this. There could be something important in there.
Exactly.
But really what's happening is all those important things, it's too late. You know?
No kidding.
It really is.
By that time, you're getting the delinquent notice from the gas company, right?
Yeah. And you know, they've billed you again, so you've paid the bill or you haven't paid the bill. You're late on something, you've paid something early, and you know what? There might be a check in there too.
Yeah.
What I often find is when you end up with this big bag of stuff or the big box of stuff, set a timer for a really short amount of time, 2-3 minutes, and really short, and flip through it with the sole purpose of taking out anything that a check that you might deposit, a stock certificate, the deed to your house, title to your car, those sort of things. The rest of it, chuck it.
So in other words, it gets back down to what's really important again.
Exactly. That's what it's all about.
That keeps coming up. And yet, I think that as ADD divas,
that really is the big issue for us because of that, you know, that prefrontal cortex and the executive function and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't function quite as well as we'd like it to sometimes. So making those decisions is a very difficult thing for us to do, which, again, is a great reason to get some support and have somebody out there, a body double or Snoopy, if it has to be Snoopy, or Carrie or an organizer in your own community or whatever. I just want to mention, because we had an AD Diva Delight that did not get mentioned at the beginning of the call because I didn't check it out, and I have somebody in Connecticut who said that she succeeded in hanging two of those shoe holder cubbies in my closet today, so she's not tripping over piles of shoes every time I open my closet. I would say that is a triumph. Congratulations. That is, oh, you know how that feels? It just feels like, oh, my gosh. I actually did a blog post about shoe droppings. Like, you know where I am because there's shoes all over. There's a trail of shoes for the house because I don't like wearing my shoes in the house. So every time I come in, I just drop them off. And then when I go to find my shoes, I just go back to the house. I don't even go to the closet anymore. Okay, I know we're a little bit over, but I'm going to take one more question from
people. Can I actually say something about the ADD of a delight?
Yes, ma'am.
In the last boot camp I ran, there was a woman on the call, and she was working on her craft closet, and she said to me, "Carrie, look at this picture. What do you think? The one thing I like in here is how my ribbons are set up." And she had her ribbons strung up across the closet on a string or a pole or something like that, and it worked really, really well. Just like a shoe holder would work really well for all your shoes that you're getting off the floor. And she said, "The rest of it's a mess, but I love my ribbons." And I may have burst her bubble a little bit, and I hope I don't burst your bubble a little bit, whoever sent in that AD Diva Delight. But let me tell you something. I asked this woman a question, and the question I asked of her was, take a look at the ribbons. Are they the ribbons that serve you? Are they the ribbons you want and you need for the projects that you're really, really planning on doing? Because she stepped back and she said, you know what? I only need half of these ribbons. And she let the other ones go. That system still worked great. Your shoe rack will still work great. But make sure they're the shoes you want. Make sure that you're not storing your clutter.
Thank you so much. Because, you know, there are shoes that are out of date. And, I mean,
yeah.
I actually have wire bins for my shoes. I don't even put them in the boxes anymore. I just use the ones, I keep the ones, when I get them picked up from across the house,
yeah.
I actually just put them in wire baskets so that I can, because I use the same shoes over and over, right? It's the 20-80 rule, right?
Yeah,
we use 20% of our stuff. So I'm going to go back to the call for just a moment. I have to tell you, we are missing so many. There are so many questions out here, and I'm so sorry that we're not getting to them tonight. I especially, the one is, one question that just sticks out for me is, how do I get over the shame? And that is just I'm not so sure that we shouldn't have a call that specifically deals with this. And because we have so many calls, so many questions, I think what I may do is I may just collect these questions, and we may spin them into a follow-up call, whether it's with Carrie or whether it's just with me, or we can talk amongst ourselves, all that kind of stuff. We may do that because this is an amazingly important subject. And I should tell you that in about 3 months, I am going to do a call. I'm not a professional organizer, except professionally in my own home. But I am a devotee of the labeler, and we are going to do a call about don't stand still or I'll label you, because I label everything, and I want to share some of the tips about how I do that, and this will be in a couple, 3 months from now. However, I'm going to go back to the call. We're going to take one more phone call. If you're on the call and you really want to ask a question, you're burning and you're still here, let me know, and we will do that.
This is Carrie. Let me just say one thing also. If anyone's got a burning question that you really think I could answer and we don't get to it tonight, please feel free to email me directly. My email is Carrie, Carrie, at carriethrough.com. And I will try to answer a couple of the questions that I get. And I'll try to also forward those answers to Linda so that she can make sure that everybody who signed up through her will get the answers as well.
Thank you, Carrie. I wanted to ask you that. I wanted to ask you if you'd be willing to do that, but these are a lot of questions. So thank you for your generosity in doing that. That's just amazing. So thank you so much. And please don't forget, I'm gonna put a plug in here for your boot camp. Don't forget that if you are interested in working with Carrie, especially at a pretty darn reduced rate, I mean, trust me on this, you know, for coaching, $347, and you get 10% off, that's a really good deal. So that starts next month. And remember to put the AD Diva into the ADD IVA into the discount code if you want to get that 10% off. So
Who wants to ask a question?
I have a question. My problem is this. I can clear something out, like clothes or T-shirts or whatever. The problem is I don't know when enough is enough. So before I know it, it's like, how much is enough? How much? Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, I, you know, boxes come in and I save them because I think I might need to use them, and I do use them. Mm-hmm. But then the problem is I've got too many boxes saved. I've got too many bags saved. And when it's like everything is, it has a different number, but I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
One
great
of the
question.
Thing, yeah, one of the things that I often do is I start to really think about, how am I going to use this and when and why? And when I say that, it's very easy to say, well, I need a box in case I'm going to be sending something out to, you know, mail something out to somebody, or I need this shopping bag in case I go shopping. The more you can back down and say, well, if I keep three, what's the worst that could happen if I need a fourth one? Well, if I need a fourth one, I guess I can go out and get one, or I could wait a week until I get another package in the mail and there it is again. If I only have four shopping bags and I need a fifth, what's the big deal? What's going to happen?
Okay.
If, you know, and to start asking yourself, backing out and really saying, you know, what's the worst that would happen if I only had one less or two less or ten less?
Exactly.
I hope that helped.
Yes, you know, it does. Thank you.
Good.
Thank
you're
you.
You're actually talking about living in abundance here, which is a real kind of a metaphysical kind of thing. But if we live in scarcity and we're hanging on to things, this is Linda, we're hanging on to things as if we are not able to provide for ourselves anymore, then that is a very, that is a more closed way of approaching life. And I don't want to get too philosophical here, but if you allow you to allow yourself to unclench your hands and say, you know what, whatever happens, everything that I need is going to flow to me in some way or another, and allow yourself to be open to that. And I also understand this kind of, oh, because I have, you know, boxes in my closet, and I'm like, okay, well, how, what size do I need? And do I need five of these, and do I need four of those, and should I save the packing material and all those little peanuts? And all of a sudden I say, wait a minute, I feel guilty about throwing away because of the environment and all that kind of stuff, but now I found a place to recycle them. So there are some solutions for that. And I have to be aware that I didn't, that the reason I was keeping them is because I didn't want to go, want them to go to a landfill. I mean, that was subconscious, and I, that was the original reason, but I wasn't thinking about that anymore. I was just thinking, oh, I can't get rid of them. So what I found is that some of them are made out of cornstarch, and I can melt them. You know, they literally dissolve. So,
wow.
All of those kind of things make a difference, but you kind of have to listen to your the underneath part of it, if you will. And I think that's what Carrie does so well, is help you hear that, you know, kind of allow you to explore it, feed it back to you a little bit. You understand what I mean? Isn't that right, Carrie? I mean, that's kind of my take on what you do, because you're just so good at it.
It's a lot of it is being a little bit selfish, actually a lot of it selfish.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
And to really understand what it is you want out of your life, because nobody else is going to give it to you. When you decide that, you know what, I don't want Great Grandma Joe's Punch Bowl in my life because it's costing me a whole heck of a lot more than it's giving me, that's when you get to live. And when you say to yourself, well, you know what, if I don't have that black shirt, I'll wear a different one, it's okay.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does perfectionism have anything to do with it?
Bingo.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you asked. Is what?
She asked about perfectionism.
Does perfectionism have a part to do with it? A little bit of it?
It could absolutely have a part to do with it. It's not for everybody, but it certainly could be a part of it as well.
Got it.
It's never going to be perfect, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, this is Linda, and we have not only gone over 5 minutes, we've actually gone over 15 minutes, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate Carrie Green being here tonight. Know that I actually put a slide up on the screen so that if you are still online, or if you happen to be on, want to go online, there is her her web address and her email address. But remember, Carrie is spelled C-A-R-R-I-E, and Through is spelled T-H-R-U. It's that short version. And it's carriethrough.com. You can check out her products, and you can check out her email list and all that kind of stuff. If any of Carrie's people are on the call still, know that you can also come over to the AD Diva site, because we are doing AD Diva things all the time. So that's addiva.net. People read it and they say a diva, and I'm like, no, it's AD Diva. I'm going to put little hyphens in between those little things. ADDiva.net. You can join the AD Diva Network. The next call that we will have, because we have monthly calls here, our next call for April will be, it's the third Monday of each month, and it will be on the 20th of April. We are going to welcome Jenna Avery, who is a friend of mine from Coach for Life, and she's going to talk about the sensitivities of being an AD Diva. This is she runs a website called The Sensitive Soul, and she's an amazing woman, and there are so many things that we are sensitive to, from scratchy sweaters to getting our feelings hurt. So join us next month for that call as well. Remember that you can download this call until noon tomorrow, that's Eastern time, if you'd like to listen to it again, or if you missed the first part of it, if you have a four-month-old baby. You can always do that, and you can email me at linda@addiva.net. Carrie is available to talk to you, and do take advantage of her generous offer if you have a question that simply wasn't touched on today. She is being so generous about being willing to work, you know, almost one-on-one with you and answer those questions. But, of course, you're going to get lots more information on her website, too. So, Carrie, you have my undying gratitude.
Thank you, Linda. It's a pleasure being here. I hope to speak to some of my new friends shortly. My email address, again, if you've got those questions, is carrie@carriethrough.com. And sign up using AD Diva for the boot camp, and you'll save 10% on that.
Cool. Such a deal. I love all you guys. I will say good night to you. I am going to say good night to the people. And, by the way, I will send these questions over to the questions that I didn't get to on the web. I will send those over to Carrie as well to see if she might be able to, if you put your email address in there. So if not, you can email me or her, and you can get some more information about organizing. Always a popular topic. Have a fabulous rest of the evening or morning wherever you are in the world, and we will see you next month right here on the AD Diva Network. Bye, everybody.